The purpose is for this message is to avoid being shaken out. To see the danger of being too at ease as we see the last events are taking place around us. Don't be too comfortable. We are not living in a normal time. We are living in a very difficult, dangerous time. And I want to repeat, do not feel too comfortable. Like if it is the same as before COVID. COVID has changed everything. You may not have noticed that everything has changed, but everything has changed. And this is a trend that will continue until the second coming of Christ. The third purpose, to love the truth, to accept the truth, and to practice the truth. Now, my brothers and sisters, I want to show you a little clip of our president. This is our president talking about Ted C. Wilson, General Conference President. I want to show you this is him, and this is one of these people in our midst who is a pastor, that Pastor Ted Wilson is chastising, not just him, but a whole fringe of our church members. Hopefully we can see it.
University and college campuses, it's called Love Reality. And it's been teaching this false understanding about Christ's full justifying and sanctifying righteousness. Now, these are derivatives of the false doctrine of once saved, always saved, which Seventh-day Adventists do not believe. Unfortunately, it is promoted that behavior is not important since God loves you, and just don't worry about what you're doing as long as you feel embraced by God's love. God's love is powerful, important. But these false doctrines are very dangerous and should not be accepted since they destroy the entire understanding of Christ's justifying and sanctifying righteousness. We are facing, this is my opinion, we are facing the shaking and sifting period in the church right now.
What did Pastor Ted Wilson say? We are facing what? The shaking in what? The sifting where? In the church. I want to recall you that President Ted Wilson is the president of the General Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. He said, according to him, we are living the time of shaking and sifting. So, let's go right into it. What is shaken? Everybody can see it. In a general sense, the word shaken, according to Merriam-Webster, shaken means to cause to quake. Everybody knows that. Right? Quiver or tremble. When we have an earthquake, what happens? Everything is shaken, whether it be out or in. The second sense of it is to get away from, get rid of. So if you want to get rid of somebody, you just need to shake the company. Like if you want to get rid of some employees, you just need to shake the whole workforce. Like in Oregon, one of the Oregons, I think it's just one, conference, I saw the president saying that he will have to release or to fire, not fire, but to terminate the contract of 20 pastors. 20 pastors of the Oregon Conference have been terminated. This is a shaken up. To dislodge or reject by quick, jerky movements of the support or container. The shaken instrument is called what? Sieve. All right. So, in the last solemn movement, says Sister White, the last solemn work, few men will be engaged. Who are these people who will not be engaged? They are self-sufficient, independent of God, and he cannot use them. The Lord has faithful servants who in the shaken, testing time. What did Pastor Wilson say? He believes that we are in what? In the testing time, shaken, sifting time. But Sister White says, a lot of these people that you see out there in the church, pastors or not, those who feel self-sufficient, independent of God, God will not use them. And once you are not used, you'll be shaken out. The Lord has faithful servants who in the shaken testing time will be disclosed to view. You will see them. They will be visible. Those who are sifted out, you will recognize them. Now we cannot recognize them because it is not really the shaken time. This may be the beginning of the shaken time. As a matter of fact, so many pastors, as I'm talking, are not fired, but they decide to leave the church over one thing, LGBTQ. They don't want to get rid of them. They want to live with them in the church. And because the church does not accept that, they leave the church. And as they do that, other pastors are getting baptized. They're getting their membership into our church. I don't have time to show you any of these things. The harsh shaking will take place at the testing time because there is a testing time. We will get back to that later on during this message. So here we have who will be shaken. You need to know who will be shaken because you don't want to be among those people who will be shaken. Now let me put it right. The shaken, everybody will be shaken. Everybody in the church will be shaken. But two types of shaken. One will be out, the other one will be in. So shaken out, you leave the church. Some people may be in the church, but they are shaken. They may not know it, but they are shaken out. Other people don't know if they are shaken in, but they went through a lot. They still stay in the church. These people will receive the seal of God. All right. Sister White says, don't forget what Pastor Ted Wilson just said. Sister White says, the time is not far distant. What time is she talking about? When the test. What is the test? We will get to that. When the test will come to every soul. It is not should. Okay? Every soul. S-O-U-L. The test will come. When? In this time, the gold will be separated from the dross. What is dross? Whatever is not gold that is attached to the body of the gold will be called dross and will be separated from the dross. Now, who is the gold in the church? Those who are shaken in. Who is the dross? Those who will be shaken out. Please, don't sleep. The gold will be separated from the dross in the church. True godliness will be clearly distinguished from the appearance and tensor of it. You may, there is something in Haiti, I don't know, we have it here. You may see some people with gold, a golden chain in their neck. They're not gold. They're not gold. They fake gold. I don't remember what is the name they give to them in Haiti. Eh? Chrysocal. Fake. So many church members are fake. But good church members, we don't know them. Do not point out anybody. It's probably him or her. No, don't do that. You don't know. Gold will be separated from the dross in the church. The true godliness will be clearly distinguished from the appearance and tensor of it. Many a star that we have admired for its brilliancy will then go out in darkness. Many. Many church leaders, many stars that we have in the church will go where? In darkness. Chaff, which is the same as dross, like a cloud, will be borne away on the wind. Even from places where we see only flowers of rich wheat. You may have a crop of wheat and you believe that every one of them is wheat. But not all of them is wheat. You don't want to harvest everything of them, everything, and put them in your basket, go home, and then eat. Some of them are not wheat. And God says the same thing. When you go to the sea to fish fishes, you throw your net, and you caught what? A lot, and you don't even know what they are exactly. You bring them to the seashore, and what do? You distinguish between good fish and other things. As Seventh-day Adventists, we know that there are fishes that we cannot eat. All right. All who assume the ornaments of the sanctuary but are not clothed with Christ's righteousness will appear in the shame of their nakedness. Those who are not saved, who practice, as I'm talking, evil, will be shown in their nakedness when the true shaken time comes. You will recognize who is the good gold and who is the fake gold. The testing truth will divide the church. There will be two categories. In this revelation, Sister White was carried down to the close of time. We are living in the close of time. And saw the Sabbath as the great testing truth. That means the Sabbath is the test. The great testing truth on which men decide whether to serve God or to serve an apostate power. Looking back, okay, don't read this part. So the Sabbath will be a terrible last great test that God will give to the church and to the world. Believe it or not, when I was growing up in high school, and I think my wife told me something like that when she was in 12th grade, probably, or 11th grade, and that there was one student who was the best in the class. But when she took the official exam, the state exam, she did not pass it. You may believe that you know everything, and classmates, teachers may classify you as the best, but when you get to the testing time, you may tremble. Stress can get rid of every knowledge that you have accumulated thus far. So don't believe that those that you see in the church, the leaders, those who are eloquent, whatever, don't believe that they are the people that God will choose. Don't believe that they are already saved. As Pastor Ted Wilson says, once saved, saved forever. It is not so in the church. We need to get to the finish line and on time. On time. Because there will come a time when God says, okay, it's enough. It's over. The close of time or the probationary time is right around the corner. Let's see. The testing time has not come yet as I'm talking. None has yet received the mark of the beast. Can you say that this person, because she or he is not Seventh-day Adventist, has already received the mark of the beast? No. Nobody has yet received the mark of the beast because the test has not been given yet to the world and to us. The testing time has not yet come. There are true Christians in every church. You need to know that. Every church, Catholic alike, the evangelicals, there are many of God's children in those churches. And as a matter of fact, they have more children of God than in the church, in the Seventh-day Adventist church. We have much more dross or chaff than gold or wheat in our church. There are true Christians in every church, not excepting the Roman Catholic Church. None are condemned until they have had the light and have seen the obligation of the fourth commandment. What is the fourth commandment? But when the decree, I don't know, I need to preach. But when the decree shall go forth enforcing the counterfeit Sabbath, what is the counterfeit Sabbath? And therefore, what is the true Sabbath? Saturday. And the loud cry of the third angel shall warn men against the worship of the beast and his image. Who is the beast? The first beast. Who is the beast? The beast. Who is his image? If you don't know the beast, you cannot know his image. The beast is Catholic Church. The Roman, let me say it, the papacy. And who is the image of the beast? The Protestant churches. But still, in the Catholic Church and in the Protestant churches are the majority of God's children. Though Catholic Church is the beast, though the Protestant churches constitute the image of the beast, still, the majority of God's children are in these churches, while the minority of God's children are in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. The line will be clearly drawn between the false and the true. Then those who still continue in transgression will receive the mark of the beast. The shaken and the shaking and the shaken. Okay, the shaken, shaken, those will be taken out, or those who will stay in, even though they face the last test. The last test will divide the church in two. Now we are all on the same benches. We hear the same messages. We hear the same teaching from the Sabbath school lesson. We believe in the three angels' messages. We believe in the commandments of God. We watch 3ABN. We watch Amazing Fact TV. We go to Hope TV channel. But not every one of us who do that will be saved. Fearful is the issue to which the world is to be brought. The powers of earth uniting to war against the commandment of God will decree that all, you will see all has two categories, both small and great. This is the first category, the first two categories. It is either you small or you great, either you rich or you poor, either you free or bond. Bond is slavery. Slave shall conform to the customs of the church by the observance of the first Sabbath. And this is America. America will ask the world. And I told you earlier, America is not a beast that you can play with. Whether your name is China, or your name is Russia, or your name is Iran, or your name is North Korea, or your name is Brazil, it doesn't matter. Whoever you are, you will bow down before the decree enforced by the America, all over the world, and very soon. All. Revelation 13, verse 16. All who refuse, this is us, for those who will be saved. Two categories. All who refuse compliance will be visited with civil penalties, and it will finally be declared that they are deserving of death. Finally. Because there are three phases of Sunday law. The first phases, we will be talking about it not now, but it's about universal Sunday law. It's for family to gather together, to eat, to drink, but you cannot go far, you cannot travel, you cannot go to work, you cannot do this and that. But it will not be punishable for the first phase. The only way that it will be punishable, you cannot travel 15 minutes beyond the city limit that they put you in. I talked to you about a 15-minute city. It is in America as I'm talking to you. It is in Florida. It is in Arizona. Yeah, as I'm talking to you and I see videos of news talking about it. Okay, on the other hand, the law of God enjoining the Creator's rest day demands obedience and threatens wrath against all who transgress its precepts. So, two problems. Follow me closely. I need to go faster, but I don't see how. Follow me closely. Two categories. It is either you keep the counterfeit Sabbath, or you keep the true Sabbath. Now, if you keep the true Sabbath, there will be many decisions made against you. And the last one that you should be killed. But if you don't keep the Sabbath, you will incur the wrath of God. Which one do you prefer? Being killed by men or being killed by God? Somebody says, I'd rather be killed by men than being killed by God. At the end of the day, it will be the hell. Lake of fire. Trump. February 22nd. Trump went to a program broadcasted by these people. Where is it again? National Religious Broadcast. NRB. He went there in Nashville, Tennessee, and one of the things that people who came there brought with them is Make America Pray Again. You remember that the motto of Trump campaign in 2016 and his campaign right now is Make America Great Again. So by making America great again, you need to come up with Make America Pray Again. Now, is it the job of a president to force his will or the will of a church to a nation? This is not his prerogative or prerogative. It is not his prerogative. It is God's prerogative to ask people to worship him, but it is up to you to decide whether to do it or not. Nobody should force you doing what your conscience does not ask you to do. So they ask him to make America pray again. You cannot, I said it in the lesson, you cannot give two scepters, two powers, political power and religious power to one person. They need to be separate. Okay. And Trump said, more to uphold religious freedom than any administration in history. He said that he has given to the Protestant churches more than any administration before him when he was president. And he asked them to vote him that he may give them more. I am here today, said Trump, because I know that to achieve victory in this fight, just like in the battles of the past, we will need the hand of our Lord and the grace of Almighty God. This is what he's been asking since the beginning. And I know some people may not be happy with that, but Seventh-day Adventists should not be a political church. So should not be the church members. We should not be part of any party, whether it be a Democrat or Republican. Now, they have also, I talked about that just a little bit last time, Project 25, coming from many organizations, Protestant organizations. One of them is Heritage Foundation. You may have heard about Heritage Foundation. Heritage Foundation and many, about more than 100 organizations, they put their head together and they want that Republicans in power in 2025. 2025, they hope that Trump would be the next president, 47th president. And then they come up with this. It is not from Sister White. It is not from me. It is not from the Bible. Go get it. Project 2025. And go to this. When you go to the section talking about Labor Department, scroll down and you will get to that point. They said Sabbath rest. God ordained the Sabbath as a day of rest. This is true. Am I correct? The Bible says it. Where do we see that? Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11. God ordained the Sabbath as a day of rest. And until very recently, the Judeo-Christian tradition sought to honor that mandate by moral and legal regulation of work on that day. That means they say that Judeo-Christian tradition mandated the observance of Saturday as day of rest, which is not true. There is no enactment of observance of Saturday in any tradition, whether it be Jews or Christian, except for Catholic, who enacted when Constantine was around 321 AD, they came up with a law asking people to observe Saturday and Sunday. And slowly and surely, as they kept Sunday more and better, they trampled upon the sanctity of Saturday as day of rest until they completely deny the observance of Saturday. All right. And they continue. Moreover, a shared day of shared day off makes it possible for families and communities. That's the first phase of Sunday law. Families and communities to enjoy time off together rather than as atomized individuals, and provides a healthier cadence of life for everyone. Unfortunately, that communal day of rest has eroded. Communal day of rest has eroded. They're not talking now about Saturday. They're talking about Sunday. You will see it. This is what they say. Congress. This is evangelicals coming with a roadmap for the next administration, next government, whether it be executive or legislative, and probably judiciary. It says, Congress should encourage communal rest. Now, let me ask you a question. What is the job of Congress? The job of any Congress in the world is to make law, not to encourage. So the way that they put it is to deceive people. Instead of saying to make or to enforce or to enact, they say differently. Congress should encourage communal rest by amending the Fair Labor Standards Act, FLSA, to require that workers be paid time off, a time and a half hours, half for hours work on the Sabbath. That day would default to Sunday, not Saturday. Except for employers with a sincere religious observance of a Sabbath at a different time. Talking about us, because it said Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. Don't forget, they will allow you to keep Saturday in the first phase of Sunday until finally they get rid of it completely. The real deal test. The real test deal. Oh. The Sabbath will be the great test of loyalty. If you do something wrong in the Sabbath, please stop doing it. It is not the day to go to work, not the day to go to school, to study for school. It is not the day to wash your clothes. It is not the day to iron your clothes. It is not the day to go to the salon to do your hair. It is not the day to watch television, sport. Actually, sport is not something that is really good for us. It is not the day to do a lot of things. If you used to do that, you need to just please stop doing it, because down the road, you will not see anything wrong not keeping the Sabbath. Because Sunday will be universal. It will be illegal to keep another day than Sunday. Sister White says, the Sabbath will be the great test of loyalty. For it is the point of truth, especially controverted. When the final test shall be brought to bear upon men, then the line of distinction will be drawn between those who serve God and those who serve Him not. Those who serve God and those who serve Him not. What are the reasons for being for the shaking? Let's go to Judges chapter 16, verse 20. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee. Who is talking here? Delilah? The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Who did not know that the Lord departed from him? Samson. Who was Samson? The judge. He was judge. He was the one leading the people. And God uplifted him, brought him up to judge the people and to be the head of the army to go to war against the other armies who wanted to kill Israel, to destroy Israel. And God gave him a token like to show him, what sign I will give you that I will be with you. Do not cut your hair, and you will have several locks. This is a sign that I am with you. Okay. But Samson left God and went to see a woman who was not a believer, and that woman was trying to kill Samson because she was urged upon to ask Samson, what is the secret of his strength and might? Samson would not tell her until one day he said, okay, I'm going to let you know. And when he told her, they came and she cut his hair. And when the people came, as previously, what happened? He was powerless, and they came upon him. They beat him up. They poked. Okay, whatever it is. He lost his eyes, both eyes. He could not see. He was blind. And then, why? Because he confided in the secret of his strength, and that lady sold him out. And when they came, he was powerless. Now, that lady symbolizes the church. Don't forget that a church symbolizes the church. A church is symbolized by a woman in the Bible. That woman was not in harmony with God's word. That woman was not a believer. That woman was an enemy to both God and Samson. And what happened? He sold Samson. Likewise, brothers and sisters, many of us will do the same thing. We will sell our lives to the wicked beast of Revelation 14 or Revelation 13. We will sell our life to that lady, which is the beast of Revelation 13. We will get into the bed with that church, which is a Catholic church. We will get into whatever alliance with her, in what they call ecumenism. What happened? One more time. Nehemiah 5 verse 13. Also I shook my lap and said, so God shake out every man from his house and from his labor that performeth not this promise, even thus be he shaken out and emptied. Shaken out and emptied. Why? Because they would not perform God's promise. Do we have another reason? Who cannot be shaken? Who will be shaken? He is like a man which built an house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. Who is the rock? Who is the stone that we studied this morning? Jesus. The rock is Jesus. And when the flood rose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it. When you build upon Jesus Christ, nothing will shake you. Why others, the other category, are shaken? Verses 46 and 7. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? When you do not do, when you disobey God, when you do not obey God, you will be shaken. It says, but the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. Not accepting false doctrines or lies. You will not be shaken when that happens. Not accepting false doctrine. Okay. That ye be not soon shaken in mind. or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. There are church members who do not pick up their Bible. They would not read the Bible. They would not read the spirit of prophecy. YouTube is their Bible. YouTube is their spirit of prophecy. And next thing you know, they leave the church. Why? They, quote unquote, found out that Sister White is a scam. We have a lot of people across the church, all over. What is the Bible? YouTube or Google. Pick up your Bible and you will not be shaken out. Cannot be shaken. Hebrews 12 verse 27. And this word, yet once more, signified the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Every church member that cannot be shaken will stay in. Every church member that can be shaken will be shaken. And you will see more church members, I'm sorry to say that, it is not just here in this church, you will see more church members leaving the church on a pretext or on another. If you were built on Jesus Christ, you would never leave the church because of somebody. The church is not the church of the president of the conference. It is not the church of the pastor of the church. It is not the church of anybody. It is Jesus' church. If someone does something wrong to you, go to Jesus. Like if you are an employee, wherever it is, somebody, a co-worker, does something wrong to you, where you go to solve the problem? You go to your boss and you explain the problem. Why? When something happens to some church member in the church because someone has said or done something wrong, and you just leave the church without going to Jesus. This is nonsense. Amos 9 verse 9. God will, and no grain shall fall upon the earth. No grain shall fall upon the earth. When you are shaken, deceived, I don't know how you do that, however you do it, false grain will fall off. Chaff will fall off, but true grain will stay in. He knows who should be out and who should be not. Should not. Okay, sorry. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us. Satan desire to shake out some people. Jesus talking to Peter says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may be sifted. He may sift you out, or he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. This is our job. If we're not shaken out, we will strengthen our brethren. That's what I'm doing. Trying to strengthen every church member that we should not be shaken out. Revelation 14 verse 14. God and his angels shall perform the sifting. And I look, and behold a white cloud. And upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having one on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. What is a sharp sickle? The instrument that you use to prune and to harvest. Am I correct? To clean your crop. Okay? Verse 15. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap. Okay? That means the time for harvest is here. You want to eat. You want to sell something. You need rice. You need wheat. You need, soy. You need collard green, whatever it is. Okay? Thrust in thy sickle and reap. For the time is come for thee to reap. And this time is right around the corner. For the harvest of the earth is ripe. Okay? Keep going. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth. And the earth was reaped. The earth, not just the church. The shaking is taking place in the church, but as well in the world. Because there are many God children in the world that God needs to take them out of the world to come into the fold. Whilst there are many who are fake in our church across the globe who will have to leave. And God will do it himself. And the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven. He also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. This is the fake people. God takes his children first. When you harvest, what do? You pick up the good ones. You pick up the good ones first. And then, next thing you do, you clean up. God is dividing as I'm talking. And that will be at high peak when Sunday law is enacted. God will divide the church. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great vine press of the wrath of God. And you know, the wrath of God will be poured out on those who are not saved through what? The seven last plagues. When you see the seven last plagues, you will recognize that God was not happy with some people. And the wine press was trotting without the city. And blood came out of the wine press. Okay. What is another reason for people leaving the church? What is another reason for people leaving the church? Pen of Inspiration says that. I asked the meaning of the shaking I had seen and was shown that it would be caused by the straight testimony. Straight. You don't deviate. You don't go a thousand ways before you get to the point. You straight. The straight testimony called forth by the counsel of the true witness being Jesus, to the Laodiceans. This will have its effect upon the heart of the receiver and will lead him to exalt the standard and pour forth the straight truth. Some will not bear. That means some will not accept this straight testimony. They will rise up against it. This prophecy should not accomplish on us, brothers and sisters. It should accomplish on those who do not accept the truth. And this is what will cause a shaking among God's people. The straight testimony. Coming to an end. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, which is Jesus Christ, the faithful and true witness, which is Jesus Christ still, the beginning of the creation of God. That means he is the one creating everything, Jesus Christ. I know thy works. Jesus said, I know your works. Elias, I know your works. I know what you stand for, what you've been doing, thinking, what you've been saying. God knows the works of everyone here. That's how he can shake people in and out. Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth, saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob. God said, okay, I will shake the church, but I will not destroy it completely. Don't forget, see what it says. The church will appear as it if it is about to fall, but it will not fall. Why? So many people will leave the church. You would say, what is taking place here? Is the church is falling? No. God says, I need to clean up. I need to clean up. Now, how many people will be saved among us? I don't know. For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted as a sieve in a sieve. Yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea. A remnant shall be saved. Not all. Who are the remnant? The remnant of a seed which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. We are the remnant, brothers and sisters. This will create a shaking among God's people. What are the characteristics of the remnant? They keep the commandments of God. They have the testimony of Jesus. And they have the faith of Jesus Christ. Don't we have those characteristics, brothers and sisters? Yes. Will we be sifted out? I don't know. By God's grace, I will not be shaken out. How about you? What about you, brothers and sisters? Will you be shaken out or will you be shaken in? This is a time for us to make a solid decision. Whether to serve God or not. Whether to obey Him or not. Whether to keep His fourth commandment or not. God bless you, brothers and sisters. Dear God, we want to thank you that you sent through your servant, man servant, this message of warning and of hope to the church, that we may be shaken in to be able to see you, because there will be two categories of people, as it has always been, even come from the Garden of Eden. I'm praying that every one of us here would be saved, not shaken out. Because those who will be shaken out will not be saved and will receive the mark of the beast. Bless the church from the little ones to the oldest person. Forgive our sins and send us home safely. This I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.